T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Deshaun Tate right back with you until 2 a.m. So I think we got another good 55 minutes of ear-bleeding college basketball talk until 2 a.m. Just want to throw out a couple things. I want to make sure that I mention this first. Obviously, there's some local news here in college basketball. Ron Hunter, an outstanding coach who has taken Georgia State to the NCAA tournament 3 of the last 5 years, is going to be making a decision to part ways with the program, taking another job over to Tulane. Just kind of curious to know how you guys feel. I know how I feel. You know, I thought that there might be, you know, some better opportunities out there than Tulane. Personally, I thought there was just some much better jobs that might even suit him well. I know that, you know, Vanderbilt is a job that's out there, as well as, you know, Alabama. They just decided to kind of part ways with head coach Avery Johnson. I thought that those were specifically two pretty ideal destinations, and some people feel some type of way or whatnot about all of this. And actually going on to say, Ron Hunter, as this was reported by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, actually on today, I think the decision was kind of made at around midnight. Well, I guess we're in a whole new day now, so this was actually yesterday. but actually goes on to say that, you know, he's really excited and cannot thank the people from Atlanta enough. Mentioned that this is not about the money, which kind of raises some red flags, in my opinion, on why he even mentioned that, hey, I'm on my way out. Just want to let you guys know it's not about the money, but I'm on my way out. So not really sure why he said that, but I would imagine that the money must be pretty good if he's going to be leaving Georgia State for a Tulane position. Also said that he agonized about it until around midnight. And, you know, he loved the people from Atlanta and Georgia State community and just the Atlanta community in general. Can't thank them enough, but it's just time for you to go, for him to go. And I actually thought that he probably should have struck while the iron was hot when he had his son RJ a few years ago and hit the big shot everybody knows over Baylor in the first round of the NCAA tournament and blah, blah, blah. But I thought he probably should have left at that time, and now that he has another potential NBA prospect on his hand, more than likely a second-round pick in DeMarcus Simons, this is probably your best time. I don't think he's going to make that decision again. I'm not going to call it a mistake because I think that it also benefited him some to actually return. But thankful for everything that he has brought. You know, this is a tough college basketball market. You know, Georgia Tech and Georgia, not exactly the best thing going, you know, and not to crap on them or anything, but not exactly the best thing going. And so congratulations to him, who has brought them to being the best college basketball team in the state. So congrats to him.
Now, Deshaun, I got a question for you. Really think that this was not about the money? Like, just think, Ron Hunter's already at a mid-major, no making doubt. NCAA tournament appearances pretty frequently, you know, having some success in these tournaments. You know, of course, you just mentioned the RJ Hunter shot to, mm-hmm. you know, win a game. Do you really think this isn't about the money? Because why else would he make the move?
Well, I will say this much. To contend in the AAC, in the American Athletic Conference, I think that that's a pretty significant jump. Now, that specific program, I'm not sure how comfortable I feel with that, considering 54 years old, you know, going to replace Mike Dunleavy Sr. Everybody knows about Dunleavy Jr., but Dunleavy Sr., his dad, after 3 seasons at Tulane, and from that standpoint, you know, he finished his last year on a 21-game, you know, losing streak and a 0-18 record. That's a bagel, you know, 0-18. There ain't many programs doing that. I think we saw Boston College do it at one point in both football and basketball. I think maybe Pittsburgh might have done it once. I can't remember before they got Jeff Capel. But I'm not in his pockets like that. I don't know what he's getting. Is it a step up? Yes, from a standpoint of conference. But outside of that, I can't imagine that move. I know they've got the nice facilities and got, you know, a new gym and all that kind of stuff. That sounds pretty dope. But they aren't exactly like the even close to the middle of the pack. I just told you they've got like a donut and 18 record. But at the end of the day, this is the game of life, man. Everybody's doing what they need to do to benefit, you know, and what's best for them and their families. I just like to wish guys the best, you know, personally. But is it about the money? Maybe, I guess. But he said it's not, so guess what? I guess it's not. But jumping off of that subject just for a quick second, because I think that the people just need to be appreciative of what he's brought from a college basketball standpoint to this city. However, moving forward, one thing that I definitely want to make sure that we discuss is I want to know how some people's brackets are looking, and mine is still alive, and yours might still be alive too. I looked at my bracket, and I don't know if you fill one of these out. But, Mr. Matthews, but I did fill out my bracket. I've got a lot of red ink on it. There's a lot of X's on it. I expected some mid-major teams, and some people have even called me out on Twitter about this, which is kind of funny to me. Appreciate them for supporting. But I picked some upsets. We haven't had that. We've seen a lot of chalk. I don't remember a year that we didn't really have nearly this many upsets. I mean, UC Irvine, okay, that's cool. Liberty, all right, that's cool. But nobody making no runs to no Sweet 16s or anything like that. That was something I kind of expected, in which, especially in a year like this where we're seeing college basketball become even more parity, more and more parity every year. And then in addition to that, I just felt like this was one of those years where because anybody can win it, that gives the mid-major teams that much better of a chance to win. Now, does that mean that somebody's going to make a run at like Loyola did last year? Nah, it doesn't appear that way because you don't have any of those type of teams that are still fighting for a chance to make that run unless you want to consider, I guess, maybe Houston in that same conversation, who is actually of a better prestige conference than Gonzaga's in, but they're still not in that conversation, especially considering the fact that they went to the Final Four just a couple of years ago, actually to the national championship game in 2017 before losing ultimately to North Carolina. But I say all that to basically say that I did have New Mexico State. I had Belmont, you know, at least winning a game. Those being two teams that I think could have potentially won two games, considering their somewhat favorable matchups. Old Dominion being another one of those teams, and I just hate the fact that New Mexico State had Auburn right there on the rope. Somebody tweeted at me earlier and heard me on the air, and they were in their car, and they actually were on, like, video on their phone, a video of inside of their actual car listening to me and like, man, what happened to this? You know, tweeting me earlier, what happened to this? I thought Auburn was one of the more vulnerable.
They was pulling your receipts, Deshaun. Yeah, they pulled the receipts on you, bro.
Man, which is perfectly fine. Still the bracket master over this way. Probably can't tell, but let me tell you exactly why. Because mine is still living. Yours could still be living too. So if you're one of those people that, you know, trashed your bracket early, it could still be alive. It almost reminds me of those horror movies where, you know, you chop off, you know, Chucky's head or Jason Voorhees' head, and it's like his eyes are still blinking at the end of the movie. It's like, oh, he's still alive. And your bracket still just might be alive. If you still have your Final Four intact, your bracket's still not completely terrible, especially considering the fact that if you still have your Elite Eight teams in which I still have seven of my Elite Eight teams in, I'm going to tell you who messed it all up for me. It was Syracuse. Syracuse messed everything up for me in terms of teams that can go to the Elite Eight. Now, who I did have in my Elite Eight is Who I did have in my Sweet 16 was I did have Duke. I had LSU. I had Michigan State, Texas Tech, Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, Houston, Kentucky, just to name a few. And I'm going to get into some recaps and stuff like that, but I just want to give you guys a little bit of a share as to what my bracket looks like, because it looks like crap. And last time I checked, there's only like one perfect bracket still out there. So in my opinion, everybody else's bracket looked like crap too, but it still could be alive. So best of luck to everybody who's still trying to win their office pools and whatnot.
You know what, Deshaun? You really gave me some hope, because before today, I was feeling real bad about my bracket, because usually I make more than one. This year, I tried to test myself, and I only made one bracket. Uh-huh. I ain't try to cheat or not.
That's right.
And now it looks like it's in shambles. But after you just said that, I still got my whole Elite Eight.
Life is about positivity, my brother.
Exactly.
Optimism.
Half glass
full. We're going to find a way to bring some some positivity into this thing.
That's
man.
Right.
That's on the real, dude. We want to get to, you know, a little bit of, you know, recapping some games. And obviously from the second round, we're not going to go all into the first round because I know we're against it. Previewing the Sweet 16 a little bit. Just looking at some of these recaps where you had, you know, Duke who took down Central Florida. I know that that's a big talk right now. And Zion Williamson and the Taco Fall thing. And they were right there on the ropes. And this is actually one of those games when you're looking at Duke. I've always said that we're going to learn a lot about Duke in these pressure situations at the free throw line with their inexperienced players, with their freshman players. It just always kind of put me in a position to where I'm like, we're going to learn so much about this team because they're going to have to make free throws down the stretch, and they did that, and they missed a couple as well. But, you know, when you're shooting 60-something percent from the free throw line, you're not shooting the three ball all that well either. That can hurt you. They took down Central Florida earlier today. Virginia Tech took care of Liberty. They will play Duke in the Sweet 16. You have LSU and Maryland. LSU took care of Maryland, actually, in a very close game, nail-biter, one of the more scarier teams, if you will. Being LSU, who will take on Michigan State up next, who took care of Minnesota there. So they will play. Those are the top four seeds. I want to make sure I mention this. All of the seeds from 1 through 3 are all surviving. I think they're like 24 in a goose egg right now. A lot of people, perhaps, I know that the underboss and Sean Thompson, appreciate that dude a whole lot. I was kind of curious to know what his final four was looking like. He picked on number one seed, something that we haven't seen since 2008 when we saw, what was that, UCLA, Memphis, Kansas, who won a national championship in North Carolina. But his is still intact, you know, still got all of those. And like I said, you just have those strong, super strong, you know, 1 through 3s that are out there, a whole lot of chalk. Now, that's it right now in terms of for the East region. Recapping those games. We'll recap the South region, Midwest, West, all that good stuff before 2 a.m. where we get ready to go to the break. One thing I do want to make sure that I tease is that we will preview that Sweet 16 matchups, every single last one of them. So stay right there. Listen to Tate's Take right here with Deshaun Tate talking some college basketball. March Madness, NCAA Tournament, 9-9 again. Sean Tate back with you, 929 the game. This is Tate's Tape. Talking some college basketball with you guys until about 2 a.m. Just talking a little bit about, you know, that East region that Duke's in, and I had a couple more little points that I wanted to throw out there at you guys before we start transferring over to the South region and start recapping games and previewing games and all that good stuff. Got a caller on the line right now, Steve from Lilburn. What's up, Steve? What's on your mind, bro?
Hey, Deshaun. Good evening. Love to be on your show, man. This is your time to shine.
I know, man. Tell me about it, man. You don't get very long. You only get about 3 good weeks, which I am so thankful for, because for me, it's the best and most unpredictable, more importantly, 3 weeks in all of sports, man. Talk to me.
But at least you get to dominate those 3 weeks.
There you go. That's the beauty of it. There's a good feeling that, like, nobody else around the office loves to talk college basketball the way that I do. I'm not sure if there's another person in this city, state, zip code, county, you name it. What's up, bro?
Hey, I'm a Georgia State alum.
Okay.
and I spent 6 years living in the metropolitan New Orleans area. So I've got some Ron Hunter insight for you, and this is, I don't know Ron personally or anything, don't know his wife, but I know Georgia State, and I know that, you know, I know it's not about the money, and I think that's true. I think Ron is correct there. I think it's about how much he's being appreciated by the administration in terms of his contract extension and maybe giving him a nice bump in money, even though he says, you know, that's not necessarily what it's about. Georgia State's just not accustomed to doing that kind of thing. Never really been a great athletic institution in any particular sport that they've had. And unfortunately, it looks like a real slip back into the recesses of the of the unknown schools with him gone. But he and his wife are going to love New Orleans. And, of course, Tulane has big money. They've got big money down there. And they're in a conference where he can thrive, and he loves the challenge. And I think, like he said, I think it's right on the money. It was just time.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you for calling into the show, man. Couple things there. You informed me of something that I've kind of heard by way about the contract extension, and I don't know who Georgia State would imagine that they can go and get. I don't know what kind of price. I don't know what he was asking for, any of that kind of stuff. But one thing I do know is I know what kind of coach this guy is, and I know that he's done a pretty good job considering the conference, considering the school, considering the location, all of those things. I think that he's done a phenomenal job here. And in addition to that, I can't say really if he deserves a bump or whatever, but kind of sounds that way when you got a guy. I don't know who else would have came in here coming straight from, what is it, IUPUI, I think, and would have taken that team, you know, to a tournament or whatnot. And it could be about the contract and the money. And I don't think anybody's doing anything for free these days, but you know, as far as, you know, his new home at Tulane, I just think it's awesome. I think it's a good opportunity for him. My biggest thing is I just hope that the people that live here that love college basketball just kind of, you know, he tried to get the people to embrace the Georgia State brand as much as he possibly could. And he did a good job of representing and stayed clean, doing it clean way. You don't find many coaches nowadays that's running it clean or at least look like it's coming out clean. You know, it's just one of those things, man. So thankful for him and everything that he has brought to that institution, brought to the city of Atlanta and to the state of Georgia in general. Now, as I teased a little bit, and I just wanted to throw out a couple more little nuggets or whatnot about that East region and Duke and all that kind of good stuff. And some of the teams that participated, you know, over the weekend that's in that East region, obviously one of them being Florida State. I'm just going to throw around a couple little nuggets, who won 16 of their last 18 games, beat Murray State, which a lot of people may not really feel like is that big of a deal. But when you got one of the best players in the country on your team in John Morant, and he's coming off of a triple-double, that's saying something. Now, granted, you know, Florida State is one of those teams that that's in a whole different region there. but I will finish my statement on that. Florida State is one of those teams that, even though I don't think that they're one of the more disciplined teams in the country, they're athletic, they're big, they're strong, they're physical, and they're experienced, you know, they're playing for something bigger than just the NCAA tournament and national championship and contention for it. Phil Kofor, one of their reserve players, lost his dad, and that's very unfortunate to hear about that. What's up?
Quick thing about that. Actually, Philip Kofor, we actually went to middle school together.
Really?
Yep. So, yeah, so I definitely feel for him, and all prayers out to him and his family. Condolences, you know, for the loss of Michael Kofor. He's a good dude. His dad's an even better dude. So, yeah, just wanted to put that out there. Shout-outs to them and, you know, my condolences to them.
For sure, and I know that that's in the West region. We'll get into the West region a little bit later, but there's a little bit of a mix-up, but the team I really wanted to talk about was LSU, who's a team that, very much like Florida State, is very physical, very athletic, deep up front, but they're young. They are a young group, you know, between Emmett Williams and Darius Days and Mays and those guys. Of course, Naz Reid being one of the best players in the country in terms of freshmen and just overall. You know, I just think he's obviously just a really good player. And I'm not – I don't want to be the guy, you know, I mean, from a standpoint of the coach. Considering the circumstances, you got to think about how difficult it's been for them to keep their heads screwed on straight because they could have easily lost. Who was it, Yale that was in the first round?
Yeah, I was just about to ask you about that. Do you think that the – I don't want to say do you think it's been good for them, but do you think it helped them focus? Like, do you think it helped them keep their eye on the prize maybe a little bit more? It gave them maybe a little extra chip on their shoulder?
Well, there's a strong possibility of that for sure, that they're playing for their coach. But not only that, and I can't think of the young man's name right now, but I know that they did have a guy that was on their team, a guy that was on the roster, and I think within the last year or so or over the course of this season or off season or whatnot, had passed away. You know, so I know that much like Florida State, again, is playing for something a little bit bigger than just for contention for a national championship. And they've got some really good talent on there. Now, I'm not saying Will Wade was paying players and doing this and doing that. I don't want to be that dude. But I will say enough to say that they got some pretty good players for LSU in Baton Rouge. And it's not football. So we'll just leave that part right there. But, yeah, I mean, they have 40 paint points in their win in the first game against Yale. And they're a big team, obviously, if that doesn't tell you anything else. But they were probably one of the biggest wild cards entering this tournament just based on, you know, things with their head coach that was going on with Will Wade. Now, all of those things being considered, you know, I want to touch on Duke a little bit because, you know, Duke is simply, for me, national championship or bust this year. When you have the best talent in the country, you got to go out there and win that title. You know, Calipari was getting the best talent in the country, one and done. Obviously, Coach K and Duke took a page out of that book. But you got to go out there if you're going to do it his way and you're going to perfect it. If you don't do that, then you have to get the same kind of criticism that Coach Calipari gets. That's just the way that it is. Now, I let it slide last year when they brought in the best player by position in the country and didn't win a national championship. When you're looking at this, Trayvon Duval was the number one point guard in the country coming out of high school. Okay? You also have Wendell Carter here from Atlanta, the best power forward in the country coming out. You also had Grayson Allen returning, although he wasn't a freshman. You had Grayson Allen returning, who was expected to be like preseason player of the year, somewhere right around that range. You had Marvin Bagley, who was the number one player overall in the country as well. Like, Gary Trent was the number one swingman or shooting guard, rather, that was coming out. And they didn't win a national championship, let alone didn't go to the Final Four. So, like, you've got to win those titles. You can't afford, if you're Duke, regardless of what you're doing, you have to be able to find a way to not leave those titles on the table. We'll find out if that's something that they will, if that's something that they will do, or if it's something that they will not. And speaking of Duke, especially that big time win that they had, you know, earlier, I wanted to mention one thing. Whether they do or don't win a national championship, one thing I wanted to propose to some people is, where does Coach K rank amongst the top active coaches that are in different sports? We see what Nick Saban has done at Alabama, how successful he's been with his titles. Greg Popovich on the NBA level with the San Antonio Spurs. We've seen what he's been able to do winning those titles. Belichick, same deal with the Pats. Went back again, won it. Again, Tom Brady. I mean, that's just the real. But even Gino Auriemma could potentially even be in that conversation with Connecticut with the girls. Now, I know, you know, and there's some differences in there in terms of, you know, in the NBA where you don't get to pick your players per se in terms of recruiting. You get to draft them and whatnot. But and there's so many different, you know, layers to that onion. But where does Coach K rank amongst those? Because Coach K is working on his sixth national championship at that point. I mean, at this point, I mean, that's really good. That's really good. When you're looking at his national championships that he's won, he's working on his six. Three of them he's won in Indianapolis, and this is how much he loved the Twin Cities. 1991, 2010, 2015. If you've been listening on this radio station, you've heard me say this multiple times. All those three have been won in Indianapolis, Indiana. The other two in 1992 and 2001, one in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Ironically, this year, the national championship game and the Nets will be cut down in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So that does that mean that Duke is going to win the national championship? Probably not. But I think that it is an interesting fact, if not nothing else. So I just kind of want to find out where he ranks amongst those other coaches. I think Cam Reddish for this team is going to probably be one of the bigger X factors for this Duke team in terms of how far that they can go. The funny thing about it is they're not even ranked in the top 100 in three-point field goals made for their team. But we got to give some credit to the opposition in this game. Mr. Dawkins, obviously, the head coach, and Johnny Dawkins, a former assistant, who scored over like 2,500 points or something like that, which to think of is crazy, an All-American, could potentially be Coach K's successor at some point. Got a son, Aubrey Dawkins, 32 points, shot 5 for 7 from 3, 12 for 18 from the field in 40 minutes. What a job that he did. But I was always kind of curious with this particular game, how will the refs allow, you know, Central Florida and Duke game to be played? You know, will the refs allow them to kind of play their game? Or will they assume that the spectators came to see them? I cannot stand, I like to say hate, but hate is such a strong word. I strongly dislike the referees that make these little petty and silly fouls just to show that they're in control of the game when they know that the people came out here to watch the players play.
Man, to me, those refs just want to be on TV a little bit more. They want a little extra camera time. It's just crazy, man. Sometimes you just got to swallow the whistle and let them kids play, man.
TV Teddy, as they call him. Teddy Valentine is one of those people. If you know who TV Teddy is, he's one of those guys, you know. And speaking of that exact same game, looking at Taco Fall, I know you said, I'm not going to let, you know, Zion dunk on me. I'm not going to be a part of his highlight reel, in which he didn't, granted. But one of my biggest questions, now that he's a senior and he's on his way out, you know, where does he stand in terms of being drafted? What type of NBA prospect will he be? Is that somebody the Hawks should take a chance on, maybe in the second round? Is this kind of NBA, you know, fit for a guy like him? I was teasing a little bit that I was going to get into the South region, since we're in the South. Virginia took care of Oklahoma as we transition a little bit between regions. Took care of Oklahoma. They advance on. They'll play Oregon in the Sweet 16. Oregon, probably one of the more surprising teams that I think we've seen. A 12 seed that probably wouldn't have gotten into the NCAA tournament had they not won the conference tournament championship. And they're showing a good reason for why they belong in. Beat a Wisconsin team that was pretty good this year and then beat, you know, University of Cal Irvine. You got a Purdue team that took care of the defending national champions in Villanova. Kept them from going. And Purdue, I've been real tough on them. There's two teams that I've been really, really tough on that I didn't think would advance to get to this far. And both of them have won championships respectively within their particular conferences. That's Purdue, who won a regular season championship, shared that with Michigan State, and Auburn, who's advancing on as well and won the conference tournament in the SEC. All of the SEC, well, a lot of the SEC, rather. The top four teams, I think, top five teams. Four of the top five teams, rather, are still intact. You still got Tennessee there. You still got LSU. You still got Kentucky. And you still got Auburn. And I've crapped on Auburn a little bit. And at the end of the day, Auburn's still right there. They're still playing basketball. Purdue will take on one of those teams I just mentioned, Tennessee, who took care of Iowa earlier on yesterday. I like this Oregon team, and they're athletic. I'll tell you why here in just a couple moments. Virginia, we've seen some hiccups out of them a little bit in terms of especially in the first round where they were down by double digits and showed that last year's experience lost to UMBC gave them a little bit of confidence and prepared them for a game like Oklahoma, where they hung 95 on Ole Miss and looked forward to hopefully upsetting Virginia and failed to do so. We'll get into the rest of the field, start recapping a little bit more. Glad we're done with all that Duke stuff. Start recapping a little bit. That was enough for Duke. They get enough. Sports Radio 929 The Game, Deshaun Tate here on Tate's Take. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, Tate's Take right here. Deshaun Tate here with you for the next, what are we looking at, 17 minutes or so? I'm not really that good in math. I know college basketball. Only reason, Dylan, I've ever really been good at math, man, is I know shooting percentages. I know basketball. So
exactly.
Outside of that, man, I've never really been good at math. If you would have asked me what's 2 plus 2, I might have probably told you 22.
Yeah, whenever somebody tries to hit me with the math problem, I just hit them with that. I didn't know math was going to be involved. It's not what I went to school for. Yeah. So, you know, I'm good on the math.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Come let at me with no math.
Let me borrow your calculator, bro. Like, I'm one of those people. And still having a hard time trying to figure out the big scientific calculators and all that kind of stuff they got. Nah, I got the old school joint. Never mind, it doesn't matter. Still talk some college basketball with you guys. I want to throw out some things because I know I got to get through the rest of these regions. We're going to fly through that. Going to find out who Dylan likes in some of these picks. We're going to fly through that, some of my picks as well. But I want to talk about some of the more impressive, disappointing, and surprising teams that I've seen so far in this NCAA tournament. Where should we start off first? Impressive, disappointing, surprising. I think that the impressive and surprising kind of go hand in hand together. Where do you what says you, Dylan? Where do I start?
How about since we're in the South, how about we start in the South? Let's start in the South.
Well, I mean, in terms of
I see what you're saying. Okay,
disappointing
okay.
teams or surprising teams?
Let's start with impressive.
Okay,
let's
impressive. Start with impressive. Teams. Okay, duly noted. So here we go. Auburn has definitely been impressive. I think that they're probably the team that's at the top of my list, not only because of a lot of people probably would probably disagree with me just because of the fact of how they slid by New Mexico State after New Mexico State, instead of taking the layup in today's new generation of basketball, kicked it out for a three, missed the three, but got fouled, went to the free throw line and missed 2 out of 3 shots. That kind of helped them out, a little bit of luck, but the way that they maintain that composure and completely did a 360, a complete turnaround. Is it a 180 or a 360? I guess a complete turnaround is a 360, right?
Yeah.
I told you I didn't know math. But and then turn around and beat Kansas the way they did. Now, I know Kansas was a little bit on the more depleted side, but because they didn't have three players that from last year's Final Four team that did return but did not play, Sylvia D'Souza, Udoka Azubuki, and Lajero Vick, all for different reasons. But the way that they handled them, I was impressed by that. And on top of that, I thought that this New Mexico, I just really thought they were fool's gold. I've said it. I told you, I thought that they were fool's gold. I just thought that they were that team. The key for them is going to be if they're able to knock down shots from the perimeter moving forward. Like, that's going to be the big thing, because if the shots is falling, you look like you could be a Final Four team. If the shots ain't falling, you're going to be on your way home. That's just the way that that goes. And I'm trying to figure out how far they would have to travel. Kansas City, Missouri, so I guess it ain't that far if you're going to go home. But shout out to Bruce Pearlman, who's doing a good job over there in Auburn, Alabama. So they're one of my surprising or more impressive teams. Purdue being another one I thought was probably going to be fool's gold, a one-man team with Carson Edwards. I know that Matt Harms is a good player. He stepped up. Noel Eastern is pretty good as far as a role player as well. But they kind of surprised me a little bit. I'll be honest with you. I just kind of thought that they were fool's gold. I know that they, you know, shared the Big Ten championship in the regular season and all that kind of stuff, but I just really didn't see it. I took Old Dominion, actually, in that game, and then you turn around after being a good Old Dominion team. Maybe not. They didn't look the greatest. They didn't have the best performance, but they won that game and then turn around and beat the defending national champions in Villanova yesterday and beat them bad. Like, one of them –
Took him to the woodshed.
Dude, the woodshed. Took him out in the back. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, right. You know how it is when you get home from school and you've been acting up and you know you about to get it. Yeah, they got
beat
one
like
of those.
You stole something.
Yeah, like what? Boy, I'm trying to tell you. Nah, so from that standpoint, Purdue certainly did a really good job. And they'll be playing pretty close to home as well, as they'll be taking on Tennessee in the South region in Louisville, Kentucky. And that last team there is Gonzaga. Gonzaga impressed me. When you look at all the number one seeds that struggled, we saw Duke struggle in the first half. Well, we saw them struggle, period, against UCF. But we saw them struggle in the first half of their very first game against the 16 seed in North Dakota State a little bit, and then obviously against UCF, which who can blame them? I mean, they got Taco Fall. I mean, the dude is like, he's dunking without jumping. He's like,
he's almost like as big as this whole building that we're in.
Yeah, Colony Square. I mean, I think he really is.
Like, yeah,
like he could probably.
He don't even need a ladder to touch the top of the building. Like,
no. When it, like, if they would have cut down the nets, he wouldn't have needed a ladder. Like,
not at all. He'd be like, "Give me the scissors.
Here,
I got
give me
this.
The scissors.
Right.
Like,
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
I got this." He's like 7'12" or something. That's 8 foot, right? I told you I wasn't good at math. It doesn't matter. But those are my three. Right there. I mean, when you're looking at North Carolina, who struggled in the first half against Iona, Duke struggled, and then Virginia struggled in the first half, down double digits in the first half of their first game. They looked Gonzaga looked the strongest because they didn't struggle at all. You move on from there to the surprising teams, which again, Auburn, Purdue, both of those kind of surprised me. So they kind of go hand in hand with the impressive teams. And when you look at Oregon, what Oregon's been able to do, like if you haven't been checking out Oregon, they got Peyton Pritchard, who is their starting point guard. He was also on that Final Four team from just a couple of years ago with Dylan Brooks and all of those guys. Won, I think, 4 state championships in every single year of the state championship when he was in high school. He has a Final Four already under his belt. He's now playing in the Sweet 16, one of the more underrated point guards that there is in college basketball right now. You go on and you add that with a Kenny Wooten, who I believe is the one of the three most athletic guys in his NCAA tournament alongside Ja Morant and Zion Williamson. He reminds me a lot of Tyrus Thomas, by the way. I just thought that I would kind of throw that out there. Hopefully he has a better career than Tyrus Thomas, that's for sure.
I hope he's in the NBA longer than four or 5 years.
And even though and the job that they've done without having Bol Bol this year, you know, I want to make sure that I mention that. So they're obviously my other surprising team. In terms of disappointing teams, I thought Iowa State was going to give me something a little bit better than they did against Ohio State. They weren't able to finish the deal, and I almost took them to the Final Four. I'm so glad I didn't. I took Houston instead, who's still living and surviving. But I almost took Iowa State, and I'm so happy that I didn't. I know that Dave Archer, who does a lot of our Falcons coverage and things like that for our Falcons radio network, shout out to them, and he does a really great job. He's an Iowa State guy, and I didn't want to bother him too much and text him too much. I gave him a shout, man, but told him to stay away from the sharp objects and stuff like that, man. But that's my dude, though. He does a great job on that network. But they kind of gave me a little bit of a disappointment a little bit. Syracuse, I told you, that's the only team that I had going to the Elite Eight that doesn't still have a shot of going to the Elite Eight. They were that other team that disappointed me quite a bit because they're right there on the bubble all the time, and they find a way to some way somehow get into the tournament, upset a couple teams, and then they're right there on the verge of the Final Four. Last but certainly not least, Nevada, with having 5 seniors back. All this hype about, the Martin twins, Caleb and Cody, and had, you know, Jordan Caroline. They really disappointed me in a lost 7-10 matchup to Florida. They definitely were looking like the Fool's Gold of that particular region. Now, I want to go ahead and fly through this because I promised that I would. I don't know how much time we got left, but I definitely want to make sure that I fly through this. Duke and Virginia Tech is going to be a rematch. They played earlier this year a couple times. One of the times Virginia Tech ended up beating Duke, but there was no Zion Williamson. However, they didn't have one of their best players either. So I think that that's going to present us for a really good game. That's an ACC matchup over in Washington, D.C. this upcoming weekend, a Sweet 16. LSU and Michigan State is probably, especially for me, one of the more intriguing games, if you will, especially all the crap that they've been giving Tom Izzo lately, man. I'm not really all that happy about that. Let the man coach his team. They've been giving my dude some crap, dude.
I know they need to get off you, coach, man. Y'all want these kids to go soft? I mean, come on now. You got to be able to get in them and light a fire in them and, you know, motivate them a little bit, something, man.
I'm glad to see that I have Michigan State, that they're still in it. Michigan State taking on Duke in the Elite Eight. I did have Michigan State going out in that round. So I did have Duke coming out of that bracket. Now that's for the East region. Now in terms of for the South region, Virginia will take on Oregon, and Purdue will take on Tennessee. I got Tennessee advancing there. I always felt like that they are an Elite Eight or bust type of team for this year, just based on the fact that you were number one for a large majority of the year. And so expectations come with these things, especially when you go on a 19-game winning streak throughout the course of throughout the course of the regular season. But I like Virginia there. I took Virginia, and they're going to have some problems because they don't play all that well against these athletic guys, these athletic teams. You see what Oregon was able to do by getting in. They could be a team that could upset Virginia. I certainly hope that's not happening because I took Virginia all the way to the national championship game. I called Virginia at least to be a Final Four team. I said it way back before any balls were tipped up in the air. I think the first game was like November 6th or something like that, and I took them to win at that point. North Carolina, Auburn, I like North Carolina there, obviously. I think that's where it stops for Auburn, but I think in the Elite Eight they match up with Houston, who I think will upset Kentucky. And I took Houston on my way to the Final Four. My last Final Four team, I took Texas Tech. They've got my arch nemesis rivals in the Michigan Wolverines, who's coming off a national championship game after last year. And I think that would be really interesting considering the fact that Texas Tech plays really good defense, but they may have to match up with either Gonzaga, who's been the only team to beat Duke at full strength, or Florida State team, who's really, really big. I've definitely got Texas Tech coming up out of there. I think that's our time, right? That sounds about right when you got the bring them out, bring them out. Yeah, that's like get out, get out. Appreciate you guys for checking me out, man. Listening, 92.9 The Game. I know we're going to come back on the other side of this quick commercial break. But hopefully I have been giving you guys some pretty good, informative, detailed stuff for your bracket and what to look forward to in the Sweet 16. It's going to be one of the better ones. You don't have any of the upsets and don't have to worry about any of those teams. So if you're a fan of that kind of stuff, you want to see the best brands of basketball, all number 1 through 3 seeds still intact, they will be there for you guys to check out this upcoming weekend. Catch you guys right here on the other side of the break. Deshaun Tate, 92.9 The Game. On our way out, Tate's Take. Now, that's one right there, Dylan, that I cannot freestyle to.
I couldn't freestyle to this either. So what happens is, you know, just the random songs, the music beds come up. So okay, it just kind of plays. And, you know, sometimes I pick, sometimes I don't pick. This is one of those times where I don't pick. So, you know, you get water.
Yeah.
By who knows? I don't know.
Is that the name of the...
That's the name of the song.
Okay.
So I don't know who it's
not
by.
Not who knows, though.
No, who knows? Okay, it's just, I don't know. Okay. Hopefully somebody out there probably knows.
He doesn't
knows.
Know math, and he doesn't know common sense either. Deshaun, take right back with you for the next minute and a half. Just want to, I don't know if they still do shout-outs on the radio type thing, but I got a couple of them if you cool with that. I don't know.
Go ahead, bro.
I don't know if that's the corny thing to do.
Nah.
If people still give shout-outs on the radio.
Go for it, man. Go for it.
People really do that anymore. But I definitely want to give a couple of mine. Let's start off with you, Dylan Matthews, the very talented producer behind the glass. Really thankful and appreciative of you taking some time out of your busy schedule, coming here, and I'm sorry if your ears were bleeding. Listen to some college basketball, but I hope it was some good stuff for you and for everybody out there. To everybody just kind of staying up late, whatnot, and supporting the Tate's Take movement, college basketball stuff. Just make sure you embrace this stuff, man. This is the best part of the year for me, man. My Super Bowl, all that good stuff. So appreciate everybody staying up late. If you're driving cross country or just around locally or just at the house, at the cabin, as I like to call it, just chilling. Steven Lilburn, who called in and showed some love, talking about Ron Hunter. Make sure I want to give Ron Hunter a shout-out as well for all the magnificent things that he's done, his services here as well in the city of Atlanta. That's a really huge deal. Last but certainly not least, before I tell you, check me out on Twitter, at Tate's Take Sports, TATESTAKE Sports. Sean Thompson, we call him the underboss. Dude is super awesome, man, giving me this opportunity, giving brothers the opportunity
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.